This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840. Now, back to more Trivia Friday.
Hey, welcome back to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. We call this
Learning University.
JJ, let's join in right here. We call this Learning University. Hold on, folks. We'll just give it a second here. JJ doesn't have his earphones plugged in, so thus he couldn't hear me.
I'm ready now.
Okay. We also call this
Learning University.
Learning University is on the air. You're listening to American Family Radio. You want to watch the show and or comment, go to our Today's Issues Facebook page where we're live video streaming. Let's wave at everybody watching on the camera there, on the video, on the Facebook page. And we are going to return now to our questions. We're going to repeat our questions that have heretofore. And tell me, ladies and gentlemen, where do you get to hear the word heretofore other than this show?
Only this show.
Only this show.
And
didn't you patent it?
I'm not, well, I tried that. The lawyer said probably wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So, but I, you know, I think that that word does not need to be lost, you know, lost in history. So I'm
an American lexicon.
Yeah, lexicon.
You brought it back.
I brought it back. You got a lexicon, whether it's that's a word or a car, we're not sure, but.
Or a city.
Huh? Or maybe a city, maybe a toy. But Walker, let's repeat our questions.
All right. Here's my first question. What male tennis player has won the most Grand Slam titles? Secondly, who was the last professional hockey player to play without a helmet? Hint, he was a Canadian professional hockey player.
Okay, played without a helmet and lived to tell about it.
He did.
Yeah.
How many keys are on most baby grand pianos?
A baby grand. You got a baby grand, and then what's
you have a grand piano, baby
grand, and a baby grand.
Then you got a lot of the keyboards. I assumed it was the same amount of keys, but I learned during the break that it's not.
Okay.
Not the case.
Interesting. Good trivia question there, Walker.
Yes, it is. Here's what I've got. I'm down to one. In the movie Jurassic Park, what animal was used to lure the T-Rex? I got a backup question if I need it. If somebody gets that. In the movie Jurassic Park, what animal was used to lure the T-Rex? Or do you want me to go ahead and add my second one?
So it was in a fishing analogy, this was the worm.
This was the worm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
This was the bait.
This was the bait. All right. And did it know? Did the animal know it was bait?
Or just I didn't see the movie.
Was it unbeknownst? Another word we don't need to lose.
Right.
Unbeknownst. Yeah.
I do know about the theme music. I know that whenever they were out there, you would hear that da-dump.
I think you got your movies wrong, mixed up
that
there.
That sounds like Jaws.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I need to get out.
I don't
more.
Think that was Jurassic Park.
I need
Park.
To watch more movies.
That theme music right there makes me afraid to get a shower.
And a lot of people back in the 70s, my friend, mid 70s.
All right, is that all, what you got there?
Well, I can add one.
All
here
right,
we
go.
How deep is a fathom? How deep is a fathom? Talking about old words.
All right. Here are my questions that have gone unanswered. What was the longest running television? What is the longest running kids television show in the U.S.? And number two is a riddle of sorts. Why do we know that Joseph and Mary weren't crazy to go to Bethlehem? And number three, what is a group of porcupines called? A group of porcupines, you know, porcupine convention, if you will. Porcupine family reunion. I mean, there are multiple reasons why porcupines get together during the year and celebrate. And you call them what?
They give each other flu shots.
What is it?
Right before flu season.
What is a group of porcupines called? All right, back to the phones, Walker.
All right, we're going to go to Kansas, and we're going to talk to Addison. Addison, thank you for joining Trivia Friday.
Hey.
Hey, Addison, did you have a good Christmas?
Yep. I didn't get what I wanted.
Did you not?
I wanted a pet fish.
Let's just get it out, Addison.
Well, look.
That's
Addison,
why you called, really, isn't it?
Addison, let me tell you what I put on my Facebook.
Shame Santa.
Let me tell you what I put on my Facebook page the day after Christmas, Addison. I said, you didn't get what you wanted for Christmas? Remember, it wasn't your birthday.
Yeah, it's a good point. Trying to shame him now.
Her? Hey, Addison, ask, answer, or both?
And think about, and think about somebody other than yourself, Addison. If you can, right here, with this.
We're just giving you a rough.
Yeah,
time.
Well, I'm just playing with you, Addison. Okay.
Ask, answer, or do both.
I'd like to do both.
Which one you want to answer?
The kids' cartoon.
All right. Question is precisely. What is the longest running television show in the U.S. Was or is? Go ahead. That's a question, Addison. Now I thought you wanted to answer this one, right?
The Captain Kangaroo.
Okay. Maybe the question changed between the time he was waiting and the time I asked it is the reason he paused there, because I changed the question on him if he didn't know. The Captain Kangaroo, I think, is number two. Sesame Street is considered.
I mean, Howdy Doody?
Howdy Doody would have been among the earliest television. Let me just tell you there. Kukla, Fran, and Ollie was the name of the first children's television show, which a caller, I think Mike from Oklahoma, got correctly, and I told him he was wrong. So he was right, actually. Howdy Doody, I think, is second, and then Captain Kangaroo came along. So Captain Kangaroo was on the air like 28, 29 years, I think, but the longest-running children's television show in the country is Sesame Street.
Which
has been around for 48 years now.
Wow.
48 years, Sesame Street.
Very, very good try, yeah. Addison.
That explains why Big Bird has those tennis balls on the bottom of his walker. You see him in some of those newer episodes.
All right, Addison, you want to ask us a question?
Okay, so how hot is the – why is it so hot in the NFL stadium?
Why is it so hot? Why is it so hot in an NFL stadium?
It's not like it's going to be like a riddle or a joke or something.
Yeah, because there's a lot of hot air, probably. What's the answer?
Because all the fans are gone.
Hey, I like that.
That was good.
That
Addison.
Is good.
That's a good taking a knee.
All the fans. That's good.
Taking
absolutely.
A knee question. Nice.
Very good, brother. Thanks for calling, my friend. You have a great day. Keep listening to AFR.
You too.
Okay. Addison calling in from Kansas now. Who's next, Walker?
All right. We're going to go to Sarah in Illinois and talk to Sarah. Sarah, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, Sarah. Thank you for calling. Where are you calling from in Illinois?
McClure, Illinois.
McClure, which is near?
Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Yes, Cape
Girardeau. My driveway is 12 miles from Cape Girardeau.
All right. My first cousin lives there in Cape Girardeau. That's home of Rush Limbaugh.
Right. I was raised there.
Okay. Wonderful.
I know Rush Limbaugh's dad and his brother.
Is that right? Yeah, David. I know David.
Yeah, I know David.
David owes me $7.
Sure.
Oh,
I'll talk to him.
Yeah, if you would. It's a life or death thing, but, I mean, I paid for his lunch when he said he didn't have his wallet.
I'm sure he didn't.
And
he's telling the truth.
And, well, I'm just saying I'm still $7 down, so if you could help me out there.
We'll see.
I'm still going to make my house note and everything like that, but it's just.
It's a principle thing.
That's right. That's
David right. Limbaugh. Remember the name. Steve,
wow.
Okay?
Hey, Sarah, ask, answer, or do both?
I'd like to do both.
Which one do you want to answer?
I want to answer the question about Bethlehem.
Bethlehem question. All right. Let's see here. Here's the question. Why do we know Joseph and Mary weren't crazy to go to Bethlehem, Sarah? What's the answer?
Well, because Joseph was in the line of, or the lineage, as the Bible says, of David, so they would have been among relatives.
No, that's a good guess, but that's incorrect. Not the answer I have. It's a riddle, and you'll get it exactly when I give you the answer. But good try.
Yeah.
Definitely good try, Sarah. What's your question for us?
Well, what do you call a group of bears?
What do you call a group of bears?
Yeah, that's a flock. No doubt about it.
A flock of bears.
Now, they got to pick up a lot of speed before they get off the runway.
Yeah, they go in a V, right?
Yeah, and they go in a V.
Oh, a check mark, sorry.
Group of bears. Do bears run in groups?
Well, the information I have says that they're considered loners, but they're quite social.
Yeah.
Pack of bears. That's what I would call it.
Oh, no, I already know what it is. It's a duh. The bears. a group of bears is a duh of bears.
I don't think we know. Sarah, we don't know. What is it?
Well, the information I have says they are called a sloth or a sleuth.
A sleuth or a sloth of bears?
Sleuth.
S-L-O-T-H or S-L-U-E-U-T-H.
So while they're out there foraging in the woods, they're also doing detective work. I like that. Multitasking.
Sloth. Are they... they're pretty antisocial, aren't they, Sarah?
I would think they are. I don't see a whole lot of them together when I've seen one bear, but it says that they're considered loners, but quite social, according to the United States Geological Survey. That's where I got my information.
Gotcha.
You don't want to get between a mother bear and her cubs. I don't care how many of those bells you have tied to your clothing. It's not going to help.
You over my head on that one.
A mama bear?
Yeah.
All these times that you hear about people getting attacked, it's because there was a cub nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And ordinarily, you could just let them pass and you'd be good, but if the cub was anywhere near, the mama bear would be like, you're a threat to my cub, so I'm going to have you for lunch.
I got you. I'll maul you.
Right.
And even the big bears can run up to 20 miles an hour or more.
And then climb a tree, so unless...
I don't know what the point in running
unless
is.
Unless you can fly, really? I mean, you're just going to...
Right, just stand there and take it.
Probably. Well, that's why they say... That's
yeah,
why
that's
they
natural
say,
instinct.
No, what's the thing they say? Stop, drop, and roll. I mean, everybody knows that. You learned that in grade school. If
confronted by a bear in the wild...
Absolutely, stop,
we're
going to
get a
roll.
Phone call next week saying they tried that and they're in the hospital. Thanks to
stop,
JJ.
Stop, drop, and roll.
The fire prevention people are going to reach out to us. Thanks.
Well, for
Sarah.
Smokey Bear, maybe that would work.
Yeah.
Because he's, anyway.
Hey, Happy New Year, Sarah. Hope 2018 is a blessing.
All right. We're going to go to Pennsylvania and talk to Mike. Mike, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Mike, I bet you're probably going to represent the lowest temperature we've had of callers. What are you there in Pennsylvania?
Well, when I started work this morning was -8.
Oh, yeah, you get the prize.
Man.
Wow, that's cold.
What kind of employer makes you come in when it's -8, Mike?
Well, I'm partially self-employed, so I work for the worst good boss ever.
So you make yourself get out there. I got
you. Yeah, unfortunately.
Mike, what part of Pennsylvania?
I'm from the southwestern part, about an hour south of Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah, gotcha. I was in Oil City this past spring. Great area. A lot of wonderful listeners in Pennsylvania. Hey, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
Well, I'd like to do both. I would like a ruling call, though, from our dean. There's a question on there I wanted to answer, but I've answered it before. Is it still all right to answer it now?
Yes, Mike.
All right, then I'll take a shot at the crazy hockey player.
All right, that's my question. Thank you for taking that. Let's see. Who was the last professional hockey player to play without a helmet?
That would be Craig McTavish.
That's correct.
All right.
Good job, Mike.
Now, Mike, did you know that, or did you have to look that up?
Well, that one I happen to know from when Professor Ed had asked it a while ago.
Oh.
Okay. Well, wow. my uh, I was, you know, during the break, I was sort of chatting my youngest son here, telling him nobody's going to answer that question.
Just give up, son.
I told him just to give up, move on, get another question. But evidently,
look, a guy that gets up in -8 weather, yeah. He knows hockey.
And Mike's in hockey country.
That's
there,
right.
So he knows the answer to that. All right, Mike. Very good, my friend. What's your question for us?
Well, I wanted to try a New Year's question, and the question I have is, when did January 1st start as the new year, and who implemented it?
Oh, my word.
Here's the deal, Mike. You got the Roman Greco calendar, and you got the sundial. Now, you take a temperature that's in single digits, and you got a guy out there with too much time on his hands, and he just figures it out all willy-nilly. So let's just go with January 1. Let that be the Happy New Year, and we can all sing a little portion of Auld Lang Syne. Now, we're going to agree to disagree that nobody on this planet knows all the words to Auld Lang Syne, but we're going to mumble about halfway through, and then everybody's going to toast, and whoever you're standing next to, if it's the opposite sex, you can kiss them. And that's how it
no,
all
you
gets
can't
started.
Anymore. You can't eat anymore in America, I'll tell you that right now, unless you want to lose everything you own. Anyway.
And that's how it come to be. It's a scientific fact. Everybody knows it. Knows anything about holidays.
All right, Mike, what's the answer?
Well, Professor JJ's was a very interesting answer.
That's diplomatic. You need to run for office.
The answer I have actually is Julius Caesar in 46 B.C. started with the Julian calendar and made January 1st the new year.
Same day that salad was born. He said, I'm going to fix the calendar and come up with a nutritious salad all on the same day. Kind of like Congress did when they come up with four different holidays and said, let's just do it all with one swath. People have been eating that salad ever since.
Just stop it. Stop it or I'm not going to be able to finish. I'm hurting. Oh, my goodness. Mike? I don't know. I lost our place here. Were we done with Mike?
He had just told us about Julius Caesar, so yeah. That was good. That was the good, legit answer. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Mike. Take
Happy
care,
New
my
Year,
friend.
Buddy.
That's Mike from Pennsylvania calling in. We got 7 minutes left here on Trivia Friday. Next up, Walker, is who?
All right, we're going to go to Iowa and talk to Preston. Preston, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, Preston. Where are you in Iowa?
I'm in southeast Iowa in Mount Pleasant.
Okay, well, wonderful. Well, listen, thanks for calling, my friend. You want to ask, answer, or both?
I'm going to answer.
Which one?
I'm going to do the question about the piano.
All right, that's my third question here. How many keys are on most baby grand pianos?
I'm going to say 88.
That's correct. Good job,
Way
Preston.
Way to go, Preston.
You got 88 keys on a baby grand piano. How many is on a grand then?
Preston, do you know that answer?
No, ma'am. No, sir. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
I think somebody said there's like 55 on a keyboard. I assumed it'd be the exact same. So if you wanted to get over into Mozart or Beethoven, you'd be out of luck if you were on one of those little keyboards. You couldn't really tickle the ivory and hit all those notes you're supposed to hit.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it looks like 52 are on a keyboard, and let's see, 88 are on both a grand piano and a baby grand piano.
Hey, I got a question for you, for Preston and JJ and
we're Walker ready.
And everybody out there. What's a group of pianos called? You got a group of pianos together, you know?
Out there grazing.
Out there, well, yeah. Or, you know, what are they called?
It's a group of pianos.
Group of pianos. That's
boy, really that's good. Deep right there.
Hey, Preston, what's your question for us?
Oh, I was just going
to
answer.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Stay warm. And thanks for listening to AFR and have a happy new year.
JJ's in Iowa, and I don't think stay warm.
No, oh yeah, it's not
probably
even,
not even
you're not even going to be able to.
Yeah, so
I was in Mason City, Iowa, January or February. Did a stand-up comedy thing
this last year,
about 2 years ago.
Okay,
and so they're driving me from Mason City to the airport, and I look out there and I see all these little huts on the lake, and they're ice fishing. And I said, what in the world's going on out there? They said, well, everybody knows they're ice fishing. I said, I've never seen it in my life. And they said, well, we've got time, you know, before we get to the airport. Pulled over, walked out there on the lake. Some of them had some, you know, like a little better than average tent. Some had like wooden structures. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, cut the hole in the ice, and they're just out there fishing. And out there with vehicles and everything. It was great.
Wow.
Were the cars out there?
Cars out there on the lake. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And a whole lot of people out there, almost like a little small town.
Who declares it's safe to go out?
They go out there with an axe, and they cut into the ice, and it has to be like, you know, a couple feet or whatever their standard is. They say, okay, if it's at least this, we know it can sustain it.
I'm not going anyway.
I went out there and did a little video.
Did you?
It's probably still up there somewhere.
I'd have to get over the psychological impact.
Right.
You know, I'm standing over water.
Yeah, and it's in January.
They could crack beneath me.
Better yet, driving my vehicle over
water.
Yeah, 2,000 pounds or whatever, 3 foot 4. All right, we got to wrap it up here. Let's go for one more.
All right, let's go to North Carolina. Danny, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Danny. Danny, doing well. Turn your radio down, please, sir. And go ahead. Do you have a question for us or what?
I got both for you. All I was going to take a shot at the Jurassic Park question.
Hey, that's the last one I got, Danny. Here's the question. In the movie Jurassic Park, what animal was used to lure the T-Rex?
Well, the T-Rex, they say, was the greatest of all time. So only fitting that they used a goat.
They used a goat. That's right.
Oh, yeah, that poor goat.
And that started that whole thing among dinosaurs when they'd get together in fellowship and they'd say about getting your goat. That's how that started.
Dinosaur fellowship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good old
times. When they're in the fellowship hall there, the dinosaurs.
Get your goat. A little known fact there. Danny, you have a question for us, brother?
Yeah, so I was going to follow up on something you talked about earlier. Why did they used to call British sailors limeys?
Why they call them what?
Limeys.
Limeys.
I don't know.
Because we were talking about limeys, like Lyme disease?
Why did they call them limeys?
I have no idea.
We were talking about scurvy earlier among the sailors, so that's
you're probably onto something there.
No, see? I don't have any idea. Not even a good guess.
We don't know, Danny. What's the answer?
Well, you were onto something. They called them limeys because they used to give them limes to give them the vitamin C they needed to ward off the scurvy.
Really? Limeys.
That's cool. That's a very interesting question. Hey, we're about out of time. Danny, you have a good day, bro, friend. I'm sorry we got to rush off. Hey, Cedra, if you will get Jane from Kansas, get her phone number, we'll call her and let her start the show next week because she's been waiting over half an hour, and I don't want to send her away with nothing. Unanswered questions.
One unanswered question for me. What male tennis player has won most Grand Slam titles? The answer, Roger Federer.
Oh, I thought I was over, but I do have one more. How deep is a fathom? It's 6 feet.
6 feet. What's a group of porcupines called? A prickle.
Oh,
a prickle.
Now that actually makes sense.
And my riddle that went unanswered is as follows. Why do we know Joseph and Mary weren't crazy to go to Bethlehem? Because they came to their senses.
Oh, I like that.
Because they came to their senses.
I like that.
Oh, yeah. That went an hour and a half right there. I think you folks need to think about that. You know, and improve next time on riddles. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you
next year.
Yeah, we'll see you Tuesday live.